Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
I want you to open into your Bibles as you stand for the reading of God's word this morning. It is our custom to stand as we read the word of God. The gospel according to Saint Matthew, chapter number 28. I'm reading till the Lord gives me strength. The gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 28, verse number 1. I want you to follow me. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The Bible says that his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, that the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Tell somebody, he is not here. Another person, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples away. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And they worshiped him. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we give you praise this morning. We celebrate you for such a great victory that you've won for us. We thank you that this morning heaven is rejoicing. There is joy in heaven, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. We thank you that your purpose and your intention here on earth has been fulfilled. Jesus, our Lord, Jesus, our Savior, he is risen. He is not there where men placed him. He's not there. Karabo Shandaba. Patolemodo Shikabrasaladeha. Come on, raise your hands and speak in the language of the Spirit right now. Come on, speak in the language of the Spirit right now. Come on, speak in the language of the Spirit right now. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
And faith, I have already come. 'Twas great is that time, the time my feet, and great will he. Me. Come on, raise your hands and say, praise God, everybody. Praise God.
Praise God.
Can I have your hands lifted?
Praise God.
Little more shout out.
Praise God.
Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. For the salvation you have given, for the redemption we have, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you. Let the people shout a big amen.
Amen.
Come on, be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God the praise for such a wonderful day. Amen. How many of you are ready for God's word this morning? Praise Jesus Christ. I'm so excited. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are so grateful to God for such a love and such a wonderful expression of himself. I've already indicated from various messages that God cannot do anything apart from himself than who he is. God is love, and therefore he expresses love. He doesn't give love. Love has become the embodiment of who he is. In his love, we saw him sending down his son Jesus Christ into the world. What a great love for a man to let go of his very life so that others can live. The Bible says that for a good man, it is due and it is good. It is more reasonable for somebody to die for, but not for we sinners, not for sinners like us who don't deserve anything good nor better. But the Bible says that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't have to look at how well we have to be, or how good we can be, or how perfect we stand even before his sight. But even in our frailties and in our weaknesses, he still finds the need to express his love towards us. He said, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that you and I will be called the sons of God. He said, in case you don't know how much I love you, look at how I love Jesus. Look at how I gave him up for you. Look at how he has to die so that you can live. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was crucified, he was bruised, he was grieved for our sake. And by his stripes, we are healed. So everything that Jesus has to go through was to express the Father's love that he has for you. The Father's love for you was shrouded in a mystery whereby the enemy could not stop it, to the extent that if they had known, they would have stopped it. God sat down one day and said that, I need a people. I need a breed, a special kind, who would stand not only to receive the love that I have, but also to be able to express my love. So when we come to know Jesus and we come to believe in him, and when we come to become the sons of God, we have not just come to be part of an organization or a kingdom. We have not just been delivered nor saved, but we have also come as a people that would express the love that the Father has received of us. So Christianity is not about what you do to express your proclivities or the kind of way you want things to be done. Christianity is not how well you are able to please the Father. Christianity is not how good your lifestyle can be in order for the Father to be pleased. But the word Christianity is a relationship which leads to a fellowship where we have with the Father. And this fellowship is expressed in the love that the Father has given. So all that we need to do is to receive that love. And as we come to receive the love, we are able to express it. This morning we stand here at the presence of God, celebrating the victory that Jesus came to win on the cross of Calvary. The agenda of God has been fulfilled. The heavens are celebrating. And it was almost on a Sunday like this. Just before the Sunday, we saw the activities of the atmosphere, a distracted atmosphere, an atmosphere that doesn't inspire any hope, an atmosphere of chaos and confusion. Everything, as a matter of fact, has been placed down. Hopes of people have been dashed out. As a matter of fact, we are talking about people who had followed Jesus for so many years. These were people who believed that a time is coming that Jesus Christ is going to be the king of the kingdom and liberate them from the hands of the dominance of the Romans. So we saw people like Peter, we saw great men who had stopped or virtually left all that they had in order to follow this Messiah. A king in the hopes that one day they will also find a place in his kingdom. We saw this man perform great miracles. We saw him heal the sick. He raised the dead. We saw him doing mighty works. These men have put their careers on hold. And everything that they can think of, all to follow Jesus. In a hope that one day they would also find a place. Are there people here this morning? It is very important for us to understand that it is political, because Jesus, their king, has been snatched away. All of a sudden, he has been attacked one way or the other, taken without permission. They saw in their faces how their master had been humiliated. They saw in their faces how they stripped him naked, nailed to a tree, all before the eyes of Israel. Everything seems to be on a downside. Many a times we wish things could be going upward. Things will be ascending. Many a times we wish we can be flowing with life, whereby we will be able to add on to life rather than to retrogress or to move back. But this was not the story for the people who had left everything just to follow Jesus. Their hopes were dashed out. Against the rocks, Peter has gone back, casting his net. The other disciples have gone in hiding for the fear of the Romans that they would also be killed. Judas Iscariot has hanged himself. I hear the Lord telling me, anyone seeking to betray you will hang himself. Hopes has been dashed out. Everywhere is quiet. The followers of Jesus and I believe the devil or Satan sitting somewhere, he and his demons started jubilating. Not only has he been able to kidnap Jesus, not only has he been able to strip him naked or disgrace him, humiliated him, but he also got him killed. Everywhere is quiet. Some were confused whether he see the Christ or not. Some to the extent were still doubting that if he is the Savior that he claims to be, why can't he save himself? In your most difficult moments, that is where the devil will send people to even worsen your case. You see the Christ? If he is, let him save himself and save us. It was as if hell has won. Jesus, the Son of God, is crucified. hell was jubilating. Everywhere. The people that followed him has gone into hiding. I remember the little girl came to Peter and said that, "Hey Peter, I know you. You are one of them. I saw you right there." Peter said, You are a bad small girl. I don't have anything to do with the man." Straight away he went back. "Hey, where is the boat I left here? Where is the net?" Everything has come to a standstill. Satan was jubilating. But little did he know. Ayarabosha. Little did he know that if he is lifted up, the Bible says that he will draw all men unto himself. And had he known, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. So, in the midst of the chaos, remember the following day was supposed to be the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, everything comes into rest. So they didn't have enough opportunity to prepare the body of Jesus. Even to the extent that for the fear of the Romans and the Jews, they had to leave the body and go. But this morning, something is about to happen to you. So the Bible says, early in the morning, before the people will start their daily routines and begin to go on their businesses and start yet another week, 3 women. Tap! 3 people, I said 3 women. Make their way to the tomb of Jesus. The Bible says that the first that was mentioned was called Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Because he was from Magdala. And Magdala is known to be a place for the prostitute. When anybody goes to Magdala, if you're a man, then you're going to patronize their business. If you're a woman, it is known that you are a prostitute. So, how interesting that his name has to be qualified with who she used to be. Mary of Magdala. She saw how she was possessed with demons. And from the day she met Jesus, all the demons left her. And somebody who was a known prostitute is now following Jesus. She met Jesus, who is the gift of God, the expression of God's love. never went back to her situation again, but started following Jesus. Are there people here? If you can know how much he loves you, even at a point where people have rejected you because of where you come from, because of what you used to do. Do you know that there are people, they look at you and they look at your background and they look at where you're coming from, your educational status, your status in life, and then they shy away from you. Have you forgotten it was this same Mary Magdalene who found himself in the house of the Pharisee, and at the anointing time when she came before Jesus had to use her tears, wash her feet and use her hair, that same hair, to wipe his feet. Mary Magdalene, how dare you come to my house and recline at the table? I believe that Pharisee looked to Jesus and said, Master, how dare you allow such a filthy thing to even touch you? There comes at times like that in our lives, that we are rejected by society because of what we used to be and what we do. Nobody wants to accept you. But when she encountered Jesus, beloved, if you encounter Jesus, your life will definitely never going to be the same. If the love of God is expressed through you, your life will never be the same. This morning I see people like Mary Magdalene who are giving up everything and follow Jesus. She followed. Was another person, a woman, who was also mentioned here, and her name is Joanne. Tell somebody, Joanne. Joanne was a wife to a soldier who was serving Herod. One day, their son got sick and was about to die. And I believe many of you will come into terms to know what it means to have your child sick. If you are parents, you understand that in the midst of the hour where there is no hope, where you don't have anything to do, and your child's temperature has risen to a certain level, and there is no way that there could be healing or there could be, the Bible says, I want to believe she carried the baby straight to Jesus at a point of death. But Jesus declared the child healed. And she also followed him. Because had they not been Jesus, their child would have been buried. The love of God was expressed through his healing towards the child. And John was never the same. She also followed Jesus. This morning the question is, what has Jesus done in your life? What has she done? What has he done for you? The last person that was mentioned here was Mary, the mother of James. These two followed Jesus not only did Jesus has brought a change to her life, but has has also changed his son. James. Parents here can bear witness to the fact that when you give birth to your son and he started going wayward, started taking on alcoholism, started smoking, and started doing evil things, not only would you find yourself in such a situation of desperation and vexatious, but you come to a point where you have little control to deal with the situation. Not only did Jesus change the life of James, but James also became one of the disciples. Can you imagine your son becoming one of the 12 disciples? So this woman, as a matter of fact, did not play around with Jesus. This woman followed him everywhere he goes. Through his crusades, through the mountains on his teaching fields, they followed him. They prepared him food. They make sure that the Lord is okay for him to do the work of God. They loved him because they had received much love. You would only love when you have received much love. You only do what you do when you have received much from God. Many of us can't express themselves to love because they have received little of him. But this morning, let the love of God be expressed in your life like never before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God. So we saw Mary Magdalene, Joan, and Mary, the mother of James, early Sunday morning. As I've already indicated, these people did not just follow Jesus, but they were also filled with a heart full of gratitude. They were not just followers. Many will follow, but few will be filled with a heart of gratitude. They were moved by the thing that Jesus did in their life. Now the question is that if you have grateful people, you don't need to teach them how to worship. Can I repeat that again? If you have grateful people, you don't need to teach them how to worship or how to serve. Because there is something they have received that could not stop them from worshiping. So these women followed Jesus. Not only were they following, but they were also worshippers. And they were serving. If there are grateful people here, you don't need to find them in the choir. But yet they will sing. You don't need to find them anywhere, but yet their expression of love will be shown in the way they worship. Are there worshipers here? Come on, are there worshipers here? Jesus himself said that to him that many is given, much is required. In the same way that as they saw the thing that Jesus has done for them, the Bible says that they were full of gratitude. This morning on this resurrection day, are you full of gratitude? Or you are just following? Ask somebody, are you full of gratitude? Or you are just following? Is somebody here with me? Sometimes people get blessed and they walk away. But there is something that will always want to keep you back when you remember what he has done for you. Are there people saved here? Are there people redeemed here? Are there people delivered from one thing or the other? Had it not been Jesus who came through for you, a certain point in your life when all hope was gone, when nothing is happening, Jesus came through for you. Are you full of gratitude, or you are just a follower? As a matter of fact, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what came to my mind? That where was Lazarus, the one he raised from the dead? Where was the man, the blind man, the blind Bartimaeus? Where was he? You know, there are many that Jesus did mighty works and miracles in them, but as a matter of fact, they were not found as at the time that they were expected to be found. Beloved, you can follow Jesus and never be grateful. When the time meets the road and there are difficulties all around, that is where you see the people that most love you. The Bible said, early Sunday morning, these three women were contemplating in their spirit. We could not treat our master's body very well because it was late and Sabbath had begun. And the following day, they could not because of the Sabbath day. So early Sunday morning like this, they began to contemplate in themselves, what is happening to our lost body? What is happening? Maybe it has started stinking. And if somebody is passing by the tomb, the person would be feeling the smell of our lost body. You know, they loved Jesus to the extent that they loved him even to the grave. Kai. They loved him to the extent that they were ready to cover him up. Though he was not there, but we will not let his body to stink. We will not allow his body to rot. Let us do something this morning. Oh my God, your love for Jesus must go the extra mile. Your love for Jesus must be a love of sacrifice. The Bible says that whilst men like Peter and James and John were in hiding, these three women had to rise up early in the morning and go and see where they laid their master. He said, wake up, wake up. Joan, Mary, the mother of James, Mary Magdalene, come. Get the spices. Get the spices. Come on, get it. And the Bible said as they were going, they were contemplating. They were filled with tears. Where are they? They were filled with tears. They were crying. Where have they laid our master? Where have they laid? They were confused, asking who even would roll the stone. Whenever you get a good heart, you got a right attitude and a right mindset, things fall in its right perspective. Can I push this further? Whenever you get a good heart and the right attitude, am I speaking to somebody? And a correct mindset, when all your mindset is to make sure that something doesn't spoil, something doesn't go bad, when all that you think is to do the right thing, everything will surely fall in the right perspective for you. Whilst they were thinking, whilst they were worried, whilst they were so much confused as to who would even roll away the stone from the tomb, the Bible said, before they got there, the very stone the very problem, the very issue that we're confronting them has already been dealt with. I came to tell somebody right now, there's something you are thinking about. There's something you are so worried about. There's something you are so confused. Even this resurrection morning, I came with the word of the Lord to you that the stone, whatever is preventing your entry to where they have laid your Savior, the stone. I declare every stone be rolled away. Every stone be rolled away. Every stone be rolled away. Stones of sicknesses, stones of delay, stones of retrogression, stones of humiliation, stones of difficulty, be rolled away. Be rolled away. In the name of Jesus. Are there grateful people here? Give him a shout of praise. Come on, shout it. Come on, shout it. Come on, shout it. Yeah. Come on, tell somebody, pick up your spices. Pick up the frankincense. Pick up the myrrh. Pick up your spices. Tell somebody, pick up your spices. It is time to go. It is time to go. It is time to go. For their love for him, they were willing to cover his back. This were not the job of men. Women who defy the odds, they defy the fear, they defy the fact that they can be killed. They defied everything that could stand against them. Beloved, I came to tell you, it is time to put away fear and reach to where God wants you to be. It is time to defy against traditions of men and reach where God wants you to be. Come on, take up your spices, take up your frankincense, take up your myrrh, and let us go to the place of preservation, to the place of wonder, to the place of the resurrection. Somebody's about to encounter something in this service. With the right mind, a grateful heart, you are about to see something you have never seen before. Can I preach to somebody right now? Listen, something is about to break loose here. Can I preach to somebody? I want to believe with all my heart that if these people knew very well, even though Jesus had told them that he was going to rise up, I believe they wouldn't have gone home. Oh yes, they wouldn't have gone home. They would have remained at the grave waiting for their master to rise again. But look at them. They went home knowing that all is lost. All has completely been done. As at this time, nothing good can come out of it. So let us go and even preserve that which is left. Is somebody here with me? And look, the fact that they had that grateful attitude, the expression of love. Not only Asante people love funerals and love cups. Even the Jews loved it. Is somebody here with me? I want to believe that if it has been at this time, like today, my brother, they would be waiting with their Samsungs and with their iPhones and with their Android and with all kinds of phones, and will be waiting for the resurrection of their Lord. This morning, how many of you came with your iPhones, with your Samsung? Because I see the resurrection coming life before you. Hey, 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 hey. I see the resurrection coming life before you. Is somebody here with me? What makes the difference between their time and our time is that they didn't know. So they went. They were going crying, weeping, worried about what has happened to them. The difference between them and us is that for us, Ayadosha, we know. Is somebody here with me? The gospel has become life to us. We are not only anticipating the resurrection, we are not believing whether he will or not, but we have come to know that when he died, he did not remain in the grave, but he is alive. Come on, shout! Come on, shout! He is here! He is here! Listen! So the Bible said, they went and the stone has been rolled away. Wow! This is amazing. Can this be possible? Has somebody come for our Lord? We are confused. Who might have done this? Then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared. Wow! In the midst of your perplexities, in the midst of your confusion, when you don't know what has actually taken place, all that you know is to ask questions. All that you know is to begin to find the solution. All that you know is to begin to try. Heaven is showing up for you this morning. Come on, come on, come on. I said heaven is showing up for you. Can I have a witness here? When you are confused and nothing seems to be working for you, remember heaven. Then the angel asked them, why are you seeking for the living among the dead? Come on, you can take your seat. Where are you? Where are you? The very first time that something is happening that it looks as if heaven doesn't know. He said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? A very confusing and conflicting statement. We are here to preserve that which is lost. We are here because our hope is gone. We are here because we find ourselves at the place of the dead. For the place of the dead, there is no joy. The place of the dead, there is no happiness. All is mourning. There are people this morning who are found at the place of the dead, but something is about to take over. Amen. Why are you seeking for the living among the dead? This morning, your place of mourning is about to change. Amen. The same place where you are supposed to mourn, that same place, that good news is about to be received. Amen. The same place where whatever you have given up on, that same place is about to be the place of praise. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Could it be possible that heaven is confused and doesn't know what is happening? But for the first time, angels are asking humans questions. Something is about to break loose. The answer to the problems of this world is no more in heaven, but it's right here on earth. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? What you are tearing over is no more what you are supposed to tear over. What you have been weeping is no more what you are supposed to weep over. Something has changed. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In the midst of the confusion, I see you singing a new song. In the midst of the trouble, I see you singing a new song. Whilst men are complaining, you'll be giving your testimony. The Bible says that when the Lord again turned our captivity, we were like them that mourned. We were like them that cried. We were like them that had given up. We were like them that dreamed. It was a sudden. It was a sudden. In fact, we didn't know what would have happened to us, but some way, somehow, the Lord turned our captivity around, and it was like a dream. The Bible said that then our mouth were filled with praise, and our tongues, oh God, with laughter. And it was said among the hidden that the Lord has done great things for us, and it was said among ourselves that He has done great things for us. Are there people here who have seen a change in their situation? You may have come in one way, but God is about to turn your situation around. God is about to turn your situation around. Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Listen, these three women loved Jesus to the extent that, as I've already indicated, they were willing and ready to do everything possible, even to preserve His body. Some of us come to a situation like that. We still want to preserve that which is lost. We still want to keep it. That relationship is over, but you still feel, you are still attached to it. There are some of you that you are attached to certain things that even though it's not working, you still want to lean on it. Jesus was dead anyway, but then they were still attached to the death. Something is about to drop. Listen, the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead, is trying to tell them that, look, it is time to move on. Don't live at the place of the dead. When that relationship doesn't work, don't leave. Don't stay there. Move on. When that job rejects you, don't stay there. Move on. When nobody is accepting you, don't stand there. Move on. When people are ignoring you, don't stand there. Move on. Don't be attached with something that is no longer working. It's time to move on. Tap three people and tell them it is time to move on. It is time to change strategies. I said it is time to change strategies. I said it is time to change strategies. It is time to move. Don't stay in a car that is not moving. Can I preach to somebody here? Some of you are sitting in certain relationship for 6 years, 5 years, nothing is happening. Stop the relationship and move. Can I preach somebody here? You cannot waste my time. And I said you cannot waste my time. It is time for me to move on. My God, wow. Are you looking for the living among the dead? Many of you are still at the place of the dead. That is where you are looking for something valuable, something good, something wonderful. You can't mourn at the same time rejoice. You can't be sad and be happy at the same time. No, that is not possible. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? You guys, you love Jesus to the extent that you be want to preserve that which is not working anymore. It is time to leave it aside. Can I push it this further? I said, can I push this further? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Remember, he is not here. You can't find a place of fulfillment at the place of deadness. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. It means that weeping always comes during the night. Are you understanding me? But we don't stay on weeping. Some of you, because of that which happened to you, your life has been devastated. I mean, it looks as if everybody can see that something is wrong with you, all because you lost a relationship. Some man sitting somewhere decided not to marry you again, and you are worried about life. Are there people here? Tell another 3 people, it is time to move on. When they don't accept you, move on. When they don't receive you, move on. When they reject you, move on. Because that is not where you are supposed to do. Can I push this for the last time? Men would always refer you to the place where they last saw you. Listen. Though they loved Jesus, their reference point was the last place they saw Jesus. And that is where they were going to look for him there. People will find you or will want to find you where they last saw you. So when they ask you, they meet you somewhere. I was there yesterday with my brother at the mall, and all of a sudden we bounce on a friend that he knows over 30, 14 years ago. I say, hey, 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 hey. It was an excitement, it was a joy, and everything. And I believe as they exchange pleasantries and they say, where are you? What are you doing? And then it looks like the last time he saw him was a place of JSS or SSS. After JSS. And that was the picture that came to mind. People ask you, how are you? What are you doing? What they are expecting for you to repeat when they last saw you. You see, the reason why we want to cut the long story short and say, I am fine. Meanwhile, we know we are not fine. It's the fact that they want to hear stories about us. What did not work and what didn't happen and all that. And so in order to avoid the long story, you tell them, I am fine. Meanwhile, you know within yourself that it is not all that fine. But in order to avoid their ridiculing, let me tell you, when anybody asks you, how are you, and you tell them your story, they cannot help you. So why do you tell them?
I'm fine.
So to cut the long story short, I am fine. I am hurt. Because if I tell you I am sick, what can you do? If I tell you that I have been jilted, what can you do? The only thing you will do is to go and gossip about me. Tell somebody about me. What didn't work and what didn't do. Have you seen this person? This is what is happening. Oh, hey, the devil is a liar. Are there people here? Give him a shout of praise. Listen, don't remain where people last saw you. Can I preach this? Let me tell you, I want to preach to a church that is going somewhere. I want to preach to a church that is moving forward. We will never remain this year by next year. We will not ever remain the same by next year. Something is about to change. We are moving forward. When people are looking down upon us, we are going. Are there people here? We are going. There is a new hope for us. Something new is happening. Wow! Are you looking for the living among the dead? Misplaced priority. Is somebody here with me? If you are here and you are worried about what didn't go right, what didn't go well, you are worried about what failed in your life. Now, the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead, says that move on. Leave it. Forget it. Is somebody here? I know you love Jesus to the extent that you want to follow him even to the grave. But you should know, the angel said, he is not here. The word he is not here means he is not where men placed him to be. This is a wrong congregation, I'm telling you. He is nowhere. Men placed him. The best that men can do for you is to package you somewhere in the tomb. That is the best. Let me tell you something. People would only love you when they know you are not going anywhere. But when they see you are going somewhere, they bless Jesus at the tomb. And it is sad that many Christians today can only find Jesus at the tomb. That is where they go looking for him. So they mourn all the time. When something bad happens to them, as if heaven or hell is breaking loose, they become so devastated, broken up in spirit. And you need them to revive them. They say, sister, obey you. Sister, hey, don't allow any man here on earth to encourage you. There is enough motivation in your spirit to let you move on in this life. Is somebody here with me? He is not here. I came to tell you, somebody, that may you never be found at where men laid you. May you never be found at the last time somebody saw you. May you never be found at the last place you met somebody. But let there be a change. Let there be a transformation. Let there be, 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 let there be. Can I push this? Yes. He is not here. But he has risen. Tell somebody he is risen. Another person, he is risen. Beyond your imagination, he is risen. Believe it or not, he is risen. The very hope you had, the very thing that you so relied on, all that you loved with your heart, After all, it's not lost yet. After all, it's not giving up on yet. Something is happening. What is happening to me, Mary Magdalene? What is happening to me, Joanna? What is happening to me, Mary, the mother of James? I'm hearing something different. I'm hearing something impossible. What is it? That after all, that which we are crying on, that which we are weeping, that which we are worried, that which we have come to preserve, is no more dead. Come on, can I have a witness here? Shout, he is risen. I came to tell you that your hope is not dashed out yet. I came to tell you that your hope is not dashed out yet. Something is coming out of you. Resurrection power is coming out of you. I said resurrection power is coming out of you. Whatever seems to be dead, this morning is coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. For the Bible said, at the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, if the same power dwells in you, it'll quicken up your mortal body. It'll quicken up your mortal body. Let there be quickening. Let there be quickening. Let there be quickening. Every dead situation in your life is coming alive. They said your business is dead. This morning is coming alive. They said your marriage is dead. This morning is coming alive. They said nothing will work for you, but it's coming alive. It's coming alive. It's coming alive. Somebody shout. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Come on, shout it. He is risen. He is risen. No more dead. No more dead. No more dead. No more dead. I came to tell you that the resurrection power has started working in your life right now. I see you coming alive. I see you coming alive. I see you coming alive. Are there grateful people here? Oh yes, I can see them. Come on, give him another shout of praise. Give him another shout of praise. Give him another shout of praise. It is a resurrection morning. What am I hearing? Mary Magdalene, what am I hearing? It looks like a dream. What am I hearing? It looks like a dream. What am I hearing? It looks like a dream. What am I hearing? Something is about to break loose. Do you know that there comes a time in your life, you may not have seen it, but when you hear it, it is enough to change you. Is somebody here with me? Everything that was happening was not the fact that they have seen him, but yet they believed. Something is about to drop on you. How many of you are here to receive the resurrection power? The place where they laid him has become empty. But listen to me this morning, people of God. Listen to me. I feel an anointing this morning. I feel an anointing this morning. The same people who were coming to the tomb worried, despair, perplexed, confused, crying, the same people God will not use any other person to bring the change that you want to have in you, but that same change you need is inside of you today. It will not take anybody else but the word of God even in you. It will not take any other person, but what he has spoken in your life. Can I have people here? Listen to me. The same people who were coming morning after the encounter with the angel started rejoicing. They started jubilating. They started singing. They started laughing. Beloved, the resurrection power does not only change the situation around you, but it also changes you. What you used to mourn, you will not mourn anymore. What you used to cry over, you will not cry over anymore. What you used to worry about, you will not worry about it anymore. Something is about to break loose. The same path that they were crying on, the same path they had to return back, instead of mourning, with rejoicing. I came to tell you that you came to service worried, perplexed, confused, and rejected with vexatious of life. I came to you this morning that you are not turning back the same. If you came worried this morning, you are not going back the same. If you came through one way, you are going through yet another way. If you came through by the east door, you are going by the west door. Whatever you came through, you are not going back the same. The Bible said they came running worried, but this time they were going back with singing, with joy, with laughter, with full of gratefulness, with gratitude, and all that they were saying, he is risen. 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 I prophesy over your life. From this day forward, your mornings are over. Your weepings are over. Your troubles are over. Because you have encountered the word. You have encountered the word. You have encountered the word. Somebody shout, yeah. Went back with the good news. The love of God expressed through the resurrection power. And what happened was, he went to beckon the others to come and see the grave. The Bible says that John and Peter, the old and the young. Tell somebody the old and the young. There was one that Jesus loved that we called him John. The Bible says that he was younger than Peter. Now Peter was old by then. And when he heard the news, he started running. This cannot be possible. But the good news is that when he got to the tomb, he didn't enter. That is what separates the young from the old. They will always rush, but they can't interpret whatever is happening. Is somebody here with me? I carry the anointing. Hey, me, I can see you. I am Oja. Fire. But when it comes to revelation, that is what separates the boys. Tell somebody, you may be running, but you don't have what it takes to reveal the secret. to the entrance of the tomb. And imagine the old Peter. You can imagine. You are John. So run. When John got there, at least he should enter. He got stuck at the gate. Osro. I pray for you that may you never run in vain. In the name of Jesus. Now it took Peter to enter the tomb. And the Bible said that when he got there, the Lord has risen. And this is how it happened. This is what they knew, that it was resurrection. Listen. The body has been wrapped out of the wrapper, whatever was covering. It wasn't untied, everything. He just came out like that. And the Jews have a custom whereby when they bury the dead, they use a different cloth to cover the hair. Are you understanding me? Can I preach this better? Yes. It's like a napkin. And that napkin is used to cover the hair. And I'm going to prove this. Jesus, when he rose, picked that napkin and then folded it like that. And then he placed it at the tomb. So, this is the secret. I believe that at a certain point, Peter was confused. That could it be the soldiers who may have come for him? Or maybe somehow some thieves have come to take him away and left the thing. But when Peter looked again, then he saw this. And then he began to shake his head. Then he remembered what he told them, that he is risen. Now listen to me. Why did Jesus have to fold the napkin? In the Jewish custom, when you are served with all kinds of colors that we know, together with napkin. Now, when we go to the restaurant and we finish eating, we wash our hands and we throw the napkin on the table just like that. But every Jew, when he finishes eating, he will fold the napkin and put it on the table. That shows he is finished. Oh my God! Do I really have a people here? Oh my God, you don't understand revelation. I'm telling you, that separate the boys from the men. Is somebody here with me? So John rushed into the tomb with a vote and would have distorted the story of the resurrection of Jesus. But when Peter entered and saw the not being folded, all that it said, he is risen indeed. Because nobody could fold, no thief or no Roman soldier at any point in time can ever rush in time of the hurriedness could fold the napkin and put it right there. This was an evidence that he has finished. Oh, look at you. Look at you. I said he is finished. I said he is finished. Ay, 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 ay. Come on, be on your feet. I said he is finished. Tell five people he is finished. Come on, five people, announce it. Come on, he is finished. Come on, he is finished. Come on, he is finished. He is finished. I'm not done. Those of you going outside, I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not done. He is finished. He is finished to your cause. He is finished to your cause. He is finished to your trouble. He is finished to your misery. He is finished to everything that you were so confused and worried about. Shout, he is finished. What does the empty tomb mean? Number one, it means that everything, which includes my sins, the curses, my transgressions, and the iniquities that Jesus carried on the cross, he buried it in the grave. Now, the empty grave means that there are no records of my sins anymore. I wish somebody can be excited about this. Listen, God could not look at Jesus on the cross and he shouted and said, my father, why has thou what? He was forsaken because of your sins. So whenever God sees Jesus, he sees your sins. So when he was placed in the tomb, it was your sins that were placed in there. Amen. So, if Jesus had remained in the grave, it means that your sins would have ever remained with you. Ah, I wish I have the right congregation. Listen to me. But when he rose again, tomb became empty, and the empty tomb with the folded head cover represents that there are no traces. People may say that you are a hardcore drug addict, but the moment you accept Jesus, the empty tomb represent that there are no traces of every sin you have committed. Oh, I wish I have the right people. They say you are more than Mary Magdalene. You have done all kinds of abortions. In fact, you are the worst sinner. But the moment you came to the tomb, the moment you came to the tomb, you know what happened? You saw that the tomb was empty. And therefore, every record of your sin, they said that you are a tie. They say you are a womanizer. They said that you follow after people's husbands. They gave you all kinds of names. They said that you are the worst of all. But you know what? Tell people, I see the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Come on, announce it like a minute. The tomb is empty. There are no records. There are no records of my sins. There are no records. They said, I am the worst of it. But Jesus has taken it away. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout. An empty tomb. An empty tomb. Again, what does it mean to have an empty tomb? It means I can start all over again. I cannot come and push this. It doesn't matter what you have done. You can start all over again. It doesn't matter how people call you. You can start all over again. It doesn't matter what they said. You can start all over again. Shout, I can start all over again. Come on, shout it. I can start. Listen. The tomb wasn't an end. Are you with me? But the tomb, as I told you, was the womb for the new creation. Time will not allow me to get into it. But the tomb has what became the womb. Jesus became the seed of the womb of the tomb. So that after he has resurrected, there will be a new creation. The Bible says that there is therefore now. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is the old. And behold, everything has become new. I don't know why you are here, but on this Resurrection Sunday, you can start all over again. I don't know how much life has treated you, but you can start all over again. I don't know what is happening around you. You can start all over again. You may give up before, but I'm starting again. They said it couldn't work, but I will start again. If the first marriage collapsed, I will marry again. I will not give up. So the empty tomb represents your new creation. Raise your hand and say, I am a new creation. Again. Come on for the last time. Does the empty tomb also represent again? It represents that if Jesus didn't remain in the grave, that I will never also remain there. Yeah. I will not be found where men have placed me. I will not be found whereby their mentality, what they think of me, how people perceive me. No, I'm moving on. I'm rising up with the wings of the resurrection. I'm moving to my next level. I'm moving higher. An empty tomb also means there is hope for me. There is hope for me. Not will I only hope, but I have come to believe and I'm persuaded that I am alive with him. Listen, Jesus on the cross, the Bible says that when he shouted a loud voice that it is finished, then he gave up the ghost. The God gave up the ghost means he offered up his soul as an offering. Are you understanding me? The soul went to the grave. Which I want to say, the spirit. It went to the grave. And listen, this is how the resurrection took place. When the spirit, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You remember that word? The spirit left the body. Are you with me? And it went into the grave. And when it went to the grave, it conquered the gates of hell and of death and took the keys. So though he died in the body, the spirit entered the grave and conquered death and took the keys from them. And therefore, on the resurrection day, you know what happened? The spirit that went to the grave, the Bible says, came out of the grave. And all that he needed to do is come back to the body that he left. And all of a sudden, the same spirit that rose, you see, that's why Paul was smart. He said that if the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead also dwells in you. He that rose Jesus from the dead would also quicken your mortal bodies. This morning, the resurrection power is at work. I don't know about you, but it can work in your life now. It can work in your life now. I want you to raise your hands wherever you are. Everybody, be on your feet, please. This is not a church for the weak. Be on your feet. I don't know how you understand this, but whatever your situation is, there is hope for you. Raise your hands above your heads to the Father. Because he lives. Come on, raise your hands to the Father. I can't face. I wish I have grateful people here. I wish I have people who are full of gratitude. All fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
And now come on, let's do it again. Because he lives, oh, I can't face. Yeah. Oh, fear is gone. This morning is your defining morning. The empty grave represents that you can start again. You can start all over again with your spirituality. You can start all over again with everything. The love of God is expressed. Go send his son.
Call Jesus.
Come on, raise your voice. Come on. Raise your voices wherever you are. Because he I confess to
God. I
come on, up here is gone. Raise your hands. Come on.
Up here is gone.
Hey. tell you that because he lives, your future can never be destroyed. Your future can never be jeopardized. Your future can never. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It doesn't matter what is thrown at you.
And now I know.
Yes, I know.
He holds.
Come on, and life is what? Come on,
and live it.
This morning, once again, is your defining moment. You can start all over again. I can start all over again. I have a fresh start. This morning I have a fresh start. This morning I have a fresh start. This morning I have a fresh start. I can start all over again. It doesn't matter how far I've come. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I may be old, but I need Jesus. I may be strong, but I need Jesus. I may be intellectual, but I need Jesus. Because he holds the future. He holds the future. Now, you are here this morning. Before we do anything, you want to receive this Jesus into your heart. You want to receive him as your Lord and your personal Savior. You want to confess him with all your heart. I want you to raise your hands wherever you are. This is a day that can never pass without your encounter with the Savior. Jesus is alive. Please let your hand be up. You want to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. From this day forward, I'm starting on a clean slate. I'm starting on a clean slate. You didn't remain in the grave, therefore there are no records of my sins anymore. If your hands are up, ushers, please kindly direct them and let the minister stand behind them. Come forward this morning. God bless you as you come. Church, let's put our hands together for them as we sing. Come on, clap for them wherever they are. Let's welcome them.
I confess.
Don't. This is your time.
All fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
And now I know.
Now I know. Yes, I know.
Listen, you can profess to know him, but yet not known by him. Many of you think you know Jesus, but the question is, does he also know you? Don't take things for granted. Don't be just a follower. There were many who were following Jesus, but they never knew him. It was after his resurrection that you get to know him better. Is somebody here with me? So those who could not see Jesus after the resurrection, they needed to be reborn again. They needed to be reborn again. They were just followers. They were just followers. The resurrection is the proof that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't stand there and think you haven't. Come and join your brothers and your sisters and say, Father, I give my life to you. I want to start all over again.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.